You are listening to CKMS News on CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo, Ontario. This program is a part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. You can access the recordings of the show on radiowaterloo.ca/news or on the National Local Journalism Initiative website, canada-info.ca. I'm your host, Shalaka Jadhav. Before we get into the show today, I want to acknowledge that we're coming up on almost a year since the pandemic was announced in Canada. It's been a tough year, and for me, it feels aching to think about climate change on top of what we're going through, and the immense weight of the irreversible changes it'll present in our lives. In my day job, I work in the climate space, and while there's incredible momentum on climate action thanks to Indigenous land and water defenders and young people across the nation and world, there's also an urgency that creeps on us every day. What helps me through the heaviness is centering the fulfillment that comes from building collective action. On a two-part series, I'll be speaking with four Waterloo Region community members, part of the grassroots campaign and community-led campaign 50 by 30 Waterloo Region. Each guest on today's show will speak to the importance of climate action on the local level and the importance of Waterloo Region's need to commit to a 50% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2030, in line with the imperatives of climate science and centering social justice and well-being. I'll be speaking with Kai Raymer Watts, a climate justice organizer, Stephanie Gates, a volunteer with the 50 by 30 campaign, Megan Rutten, a climate justice organizer and Fridays for Future Waterloo Region organizer, and Andreas Fuentes, who has engaged in climate work locally and globally for over 10 years. In part one, we'll hear about their motivations, the need for local climate action, and their work on a petition leading up to a motion to be presented at Regional Council. In part two, we'll talk about the history of organizing in the region that the campaign is building on, the importance of building solidarity, and what a just climate future could look like in the region. So, can you give a one-sentence introduction to yourselves and share how you're connected to 50 by 30?
My name is Kai Raymer Watts. I'm a community climate justice organizer with 50 by 30 and have been with the campaign for about a year now.
My name is Stephanie Gertz, and I'm a volunteer with the 50 by 30 campaign. And I'm just passionate about getting things done and helping where I can.
I'm Meg Rattan Walker, and I've been one of the climate justice organizers with 50 by 30 since the summer. And I am previously a Fridays for Future Waterloo Region organizer.
My name is Andres Fuentes, and I've been working on climate change at various levels for the past 10 years and got involved in the climate strikes a couple of years ago, which eventually morphed into this.
Can you tell us about what 50 by 30 is and what your motivations are as members of this grassroots community-led campaign?
From kind of a higher level, 50 by 30 is a grassroots community-led campaign advocating for Waterloo Region to commit to a 50% community-wide reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. And that's in line with the imperatives of climate science and centering social justice and well-being. The campaign also builds on the public commitment made by regional municipalities and the region itself back in 2019, declaring a climate emergency, recognizing the existential risks posed by climate change, both globally and here in Waterloo Region. And so that's really our foundation. We recognize that that climate change, like the pandemic, is already impacting on public health and well-being, and it demands our shared urgency and attention. And we aim to build back better from this pandemic through a just green recovery, centering well-being and innovation, and a more climate-smart Waterloo Region.
So why does local and regional climate action matter? And why does it matter that this movement is, in fact, intergenerational and brings people in?
To begin with, climate action is not just intergenerational into the future. I'm a mom. I'm a local mom. I've been living in Waterloo Region for about 12 years. And the reason why I have become a climate activist and organizer is because of my son. I have a six-year-old. He's going on seven. And it is my parental duty in my mind to do as much as I can to meet these challenges of climate change before he has to. And because globally we have spent the last 40 years dithering on climate change, there is not only do we have intergenerational injustice going forward, but we have the last 40 years of non-action, but also the 200 years going back are maybe more to the sort of colonial, exploitative, extractive systems that got us here, that have brought us to this point where we have so much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And if we talk about climate change as only a technological problem, we ignore the justice side of it. And as people in Canada, we also owe this huge carbon debt to the global south, to people who are living in poverty because of the way that our economy and our country and the countries of the global north have extracted resources from them, right? So the people who are the least amount, have the least amount of responsibility for the climate crisis, they are suffering the first and they're suffering the most right now. So that's why, in my mind, this is not just an intergenerational thing. It's a climate justice issue from now and into the past.
It's really important for local action because so many of our activities and emissions happen at a local level. You know, the way we set up cities, the way we interact has so much of an impact in the emissions. You know, we can set up cities and do set up cities often to be very car centric, to force us to drive and do things a lot more independently. And so we're looking to build on that community angle to reduce emissions.
And one of the things I think we should be considering is that we have different levels of government, federal, provincial, municipality, and just citizens. Citizens have their own level of government. And, you know, the federal government, provincial governments, they always change. They go back on their promises. They have, you know, different concerns that are important to them. But as citizens of our communities, we acknowledge and we need to be aware that we know what's happening in our communities. And we need to be more engaged in our municipal levels and empower more people around us, become more aware. Because if we don't make the change, if we don't push for the change, it's not going to be consistent enough. And we need consistent change over a long period of time to make sure that we actually see the change and actually create the future that we want.
So much of this is about creating the future that we want to see, rather than feeling like we are just fated to live with climate catastrophe, which is so clearly not the case. You know, we can make choices right now that will protect our shared future. And also build a more equitable future, build a future that is generally better to live in, that is thriving and sustainable. And so that's part of what the 50 by 30 campaign is about as well, that it needs to be a catalyst for taking action over the next 10 years, recognizing that the timeline of the next 10 years is so important for reducing global emissions. And if we in a wealthy, highly innovative part of the world are not able, or I should say not willing, to step up and do our fair share, then, you know, shame on us. Like, we really, the science has been incredibly clear from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, that we have the next 10 years to cut global emissions in half to stand the best chance at reducing climate catastrophe. That's in line with Canada's own commitments under the Paris Climate Agreement. And rather than failing on that, it's high time that we need to step up, essentially, do our fair share and show what leadership really is here in Waterloo Region.
And so who are the stakeholders that you do represent and who have you been engaging so far? You've kind of spoken to the folks who do have a stake in climate matters, but what are you hoping that they bring to the conversation in your engagement?
You know, this campaign emerged out of the climate strikes that really are happening globally, and we've been doing our part here in Waterloo Region to also provide a space for citizens to raise their voices throughout the region. And that led into a range of conversations with other movement leaders throughout the region on the need to center justice and equity in climate action. Those conversations gradually led to the development of the 50 by 30 campaign.
While we were organizing the very big climate strike in September 2019, we had to recognize who we were, what our demographic was, but also who were we missing? How do we include more people? Because if this is a result of climate change, it's a result of generational inequity, colonialism, it's not fair or correct, and it won't solve the problem that we have right now if we exclude people. So we needed to be a more inclusive, justice-focused movement. And so with 50 by 30, we continued to bring in Black Lives Matter activists, land back activists, recognizing that we are Indigenous land, for instance.
So 50 by 30 has a petition going around in a lead up to a motion to the regional council. Can you tell us about what the motion is about and what change it would bring about in the community?
Yeah, so the region locally has already committed to an 80% reduction of emissions by 2050. And in the next couple of months, there's going to be a plan put forward outlining how to reach the 80% by 2050, as well as some shorter term goals. And now what we know is that you can reach 80% by 2050 in many ways, including if you really wanted to do nothing now and try to do it all in the last 10 years, which sometimes happens when you set goals at such a long term. Now there's consequences to that, including it would be way more expensive than acting now, but also it would mean we emit a lot more. So we know that if we're gonna have a chance to stay within 1.5 or 2 degrees, which is what we've agreed in the Paris Agreement, and also what the region and other municipalities locally have agreed to when they declare the climate emergency, is that we need to tamp down our emissions quickly. So we need the 50% by 2030. And what the petition and the motion that we're hoping to introduce is to get the region to commit to that 10-year goal. The next 10 years are probably the most important 10 years in fighting climate change. And so we need to be as ambitious as we can. I'd say 50% by 30 is honestly the minimum we should be doing. There are cities that are around the world that have committed to carbon neutral by 2030. We know how to get there, and it's important that we do. And so that's sort of why we started this campaign, why we did it when we're doing it, and what we're hoping to accomplish in hopefully in the next couple of months.
I'd also like to add that there's no reason to wait. Speed is justice at this point. The less warming we have, the less devastation we'll have. Locally, globally, we can save more of the earth. We can save more people. And the economics around climate change and addressing it has gone down exponentially. Solar, all the renewables, the damages that we're seeing from climate change now are so much more than we would have to spend to mitigate it. There is no reason for us to delay. So near-term goals are not only important for saving what we can, but also it makes economic sense as well.
And you put it really well in a conversation that we had, where also climate change isn't on or off, black or white. It's a gradual. So every effort that we make will have an impact. And the sooner we make it, the more of an impact it can have.
Even if we decide to make changes now, change is not, well, change can be quick. We've seen that with some changes due to COVID. You know, government has stepped up and made quick and fast changes and implemented them quickly. But a lot of times things are slow, and that if we decide something now, policies have to be changed. Businesses have to be made aware, retrofits have to be made, like whole process or expending time to come up with new innovations and new techniques. Like, just because we agree upon something now doesn't mean it's going to happen right away. And so we can't wait to agree upon these changes later on when we finally actually realize that we actually need to do it. We need to decide now so that we can start making those changes. And it might take years still to implement many of the changes that we need to see happen.
So I think part of what is so important about this motion, like a number of folks here have already spoken to kind of the critical time element of the next 10 years. And I really liked how Meg put it as well, that there's no reason for us to wait. And in fact, waiting is psychologically harder than actually just starting to take the kinds of actions that are required. I think part of what is beautiful about setting I don't want to call it an ambitious target, a necessary target right now, is that it pushes us to start making the changes that will make life better for the majority across Waterloo Region, will make us far more prepared and resilient for adapting to climate change as we reduce our emissions and our impact, and start to build a thriving local green economy at a time when, you know, let's face it, with the pandemic, our society is really, really struggling, and small businesses are really struggling. And so there's an opportunity here. I mean, the global green economy is a multi-trillion dollar economy. When we think about Waterloo Region as an innovation hub, we absolutely need to be building back from this pandemic. Yes, centering social equity and justice, and also centering innovation. We have two major universities here, you know. We have tech companies galore. All of this to me says there's no reason to make excuses on this. We need an all hands on deck effort together. And that needs to start now.
Listening to CKMS News in conversation with Kai Rimmer Watts, Stephanie Gates, Megan Rutten, and Andreas Fuentes, who are part of the grassroots community-led campaign 50 by 30 Waterloo Region. In part two, we'll talk about the history of organizing in the region that the campaign has been building on, the importance of building solidarity, and what a just climate future could look like in the region. You can learn more about the ongoing efforts at www.50by30wr.ca or check them out on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. The accounts are linked in the show notes of the CKMS website. You can check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news and follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. You can email news@radiowaterloo.ca to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover.